Malila, let's begin with what does the word sulcha mean?
Sulcha is a Middle Eastern tradition belonging to the Arab communities that has to do with ways of ending bloody relationship between families or between parties where the killing and then retaliation has gone like way overboard, and there has to be some kind of form and some kind of ritual that's going to bring it to a total end where it's not just going to continue forever. And sulcha was developed in that way, where there's this ornate ritual of defining what each party is going to give to the other party. Then there's a, you know, you drink coffee together, there's a bread breaking ceremony, and then that's it. There is no more bloodshed. You can't continue what was before. That's the end of it. And that's a sulcha. And, you know, when we thought of our project, we decided that we wish we could call it the sulcha, but it's called the way to the sulcha because we ain't there yet. I mean, in the Middle East, we've got years and years to go before we can say, oh, we have the sulcha on our hands. But we want to find a form that's going to work for Israelis and Arabs from Israel and as well as Arabs from the West Bank and all of the occupied territories to figure out a form that's going to be steps on the way to the sulcha.
And what is this particular form made up of? And how did you come to decide on this particular form?
Well, the form, which is the vision that Gabriel Mayer came up with, and which I think has a wonderful brilliance to it, had to do with finding a way to bring together Jews, different kind of Jews, different kind of Arabs, Christians, Muslims, more progressive, more traditional, occupied territories and Israelis, Jews from all over the world, but bring them together in a place in nature, in for more than a day, for 2 or 3 or 4 days, where together we build a camp and we build an environment in which the encounters between us are what the project of the sulcha is about. The encounter between Jews and Arabs, the opportunity, which I think is so needed, mostly for me as an Israeli, I'll speak of me as an Israeli, just to be and speak in a safe, kind of contained environment and with an open heart with Arabs. We don't really get to do that. And if I think of our life, I'm a mother of teenagers, since the Intifada of 2000, we have less and less opportunities. Both our generation as the parents and, of course, the generation of the children, to be just in a human encounter with Palestinians.
How many of these events have you been involved with?
I've been involved with the sulcha from the beginning. I think this is our sixth sulcha. The sulcha has grown. The sulcha has changed. It's gone through different changes. It started as an extremely grassroots organization, and actually it still is, which is part of it's part of its beauty in a certain kind of way, and it is within the move towards a larger kind of organizational kind of development. But the beauty of it has been that when it started in the Galilee in 2000, you know, in the kind of fire and pain of Intifada, there was something special about saying, let's start it in a place where Jews and Arabs, in any case, have good relationships or have really ways of encountering each other on a daily basis. And now let's bring them together, eye to eye, face to face, for a place where we can sit, listen to each other, talk with each other, dance with each other, cook with each other, and see what happens. So I think there's something very special that even though we had to call off last year, we had to call the sulcha off because it was the middle of the war, and what we held was a prayer vigil from all religions here about the state of affairs that was going through this area. I think there was something so healing about saying, okay, but this year we can do it. And the abbot of the monastery in Latrun, Abunapol, graciously offered his olive orchard for the sulcha, and I think it was very special to say, okay, there was a war, there was another wave of violence, but we're not all gonna go into our, you know, back into our holes and just be in anguish. Let's figure out a way that we can be together.
Do you feel that there's a process, that the change is in a direction, or is it just change because there are different people?
First of all, the sulcha has grown, and there's more people that know about it. It doesn't have incredible marketing skills. I mean, it's not that everybody knew about it. I think most people didn't know that it was happening. On the other hand, there was a quality and this year that I think was really to be cherished, that it wasn't too large from the point of view that it did allow people to see the same people a day and then the next day and the next day. It allowed circles to develop some kind of depth of what they were talking about. It allowed encounters to turn into friendships. It allowed sparks of ideas to turn into planning. And it allowed things to drop deeper in people's hearts and souls. I think actually that's what it's about. I think another thing that is different is that when the sulcha started, it was very clear that it's a faith-based, it's a spiritually-based kind of project. It's about working towards coexistence and reconciliation, not on the legislative arena nor in the political lobbying arena, which are all very important in this country, but to say, let's figure out another area that's kind of left untended to, which is just to invite people to be with each other as people and as children of God in whatever way people experience what God is. But I think that was the initial thrust, was to say, let's trust the Spirit, let's trust ourselves as children of Abraham, let's use the stories, the wisdom of our traditions, and not see them as hindrances to the ability to come together. I think what was very special this year is that into that ambiance came in the form of the bereaved families, I mean, which started also in sulchas before this, but this time it caught a very central place, and the form of combatants for peace, which are soldiers and people who are warring people from both the Israeli and Palestinian side, who decided to, you know, let down their arms and look for ways of dialogue that are nonviolent. And I think it was a very important marriage. It was a very important bringing together of the activists with the people that are bringing in the spiritual, with the prayer tent, with the imams, with the Sufi teachers, with the rabbis, I mean, with the goddess women, with whatever it was, the mixture was delicious. And it generally, at least in Israel, this doesn't happen. The activists have a certain style, a certain language, a certain way of kind of maneuvering and administering themselves, and so do the more spiritual, the more New Agey, the more India-influenced people. They have a different way. And suddenly to say, no, these worlds are not separate. We're going to bring these worlds together, and we're going to have music, and we're going to have meditation, and we're going to have people talking, we're going to have people praying, we're going to have people conversing over very difficult issues that are also political. To bring that together was a very special thing this time.
How do you personally, with your optimism and all the work you've been involved in Arab-Jewish relations in this country, relate to somebody like the Sheikh who preaches about that the Jews are trying to destroy Al-Aqsa and that there's nothing of any value or positive value in this country as far as the Jews, and that we're just trying to destroy the Muslim world, and that his people need to react from that in a very militant way?
Well, as a religious human being and as a Jewish human being looking at this, I would say, well, we have the same thing on our sides. We have people that say the same thing about Arabs. I mean, the fact that we have in our, you know, big tribes around here, people that hold extreme, violent, very dismissive, very racist sometimes and extremely separating kind of views about the others in this vicinity, in this area, we have to acknowledge that. It's part of the reality, not only the political reality, it's part of our cultural reality. I think in a certain way, it actually sparks a stronger feeling of why we have to be experimenting on projects like the Sulcha, which are trying to do the opposite, which are trying to say, no, if we come together, we will remember that whatever our differences are, these people coming from Hebron, coming from Jenin, coming from Jericho, coming from Israeli Arab communities in Israel, they are not anonymous non-humans. These are people. And if we want to do anything, we first and foremost have to acknowledge that, and let's do it through this kind of activity. So, we have rabbis that are going to say venomous things, and they have imams that are going to say atrocious things. And we have to, give power to the voice that's saying something that's very different.
Do you see the Sulcha continuing? And if do you see changes that you, as somebody who's involved in the leadership of the Sulcha, would promote or would like to see?
I feel that in many ways the annual gathering has its grace and beauty, but it's never enough. You know, when you think of the aim, which is this kind of ongoing experience of the ability to be in some kind of relation with the other from both sides. So to do 3-4 times a 3-4 days a year is feels insufficient in a certain way. But I think what time has shown us is that the Sulcha is a wonderful birthing ground for ideas that come out of it. For example, the Sulchita, the youth Sulcha, which came out because of a dream of Elad, who's one of the people that joined the Sulcha, allowed the development of, I think, one of the most fascinating projects of the Sulcha, which is not to bring together people like me and you, but to bring together 15 and 16-year-old youth from these communities and bring them together in the desert, allow them to be together, listen to each other, cry and laugh together and dance together. And that just organically came out. It's clear that all kinds of initiatives came out from the intensity of the way Israelis and Palestinians were moved by the encounter in the annual gathering that took place this month.
And should we invite, is there another Sulcha coming to invite people to participate in?
Well, next year I think we're going to hold at least 2 youth sulchitas, which are really for the youth. There is always a need for volunteers who are willing to be Arab speakers, Hebrew speakers, and people that will translate, and people that can work with youth. And we'll be planning the big gathering. And everybody should wait for next year.
There was a 10 shekel entrance fee this year, which couldn't cover very much of the expenses. How is this supported?
Well, it's supported by donors mostly from North America, some from here. The Sulcha doesn't have money, really, and it has never had enough vis-a-vis the greatness or the largeness of the vision. Always has to work with the very limited funds that we have. I think there is sense to the fact that some of our donors are demanding some level of inner sustainability. And part of it has to do with saying, okay, let's at least ask people to donate. They can donate whatever they want. And if they don't have money, they can come in free. But let's figure out a way that people understand that they're putting money not for great profits, but in order for events like this to be able to take place.
Thank you very much.
Patroon is the site of a Trappist monastery that's been here for quite a few years. And on the grounds of the monastery is an event this year called On the Way to the Sulcha. Try and find somebody to explain to us what Sulcha is. It has to do with some kind of peacemaking, traditional peacemaking between people, usually between Arabs and Arabs. In this case, I think the idea is between Arabs and Jews.
ולא ידעתי על חוק של המדינה. החוק של המדינה אומר
There are Arabs speaking Hebrew. There will be fewer Jews speaking Arabic. And of course, there are Arabs speaking Hebrew, people singing, people in discussion circles. And under a large yellowish, plastic yellow shade covering, chairs, people sitting around, singing, making noise. Over on the far side is a children's tent where there will be activities for children. Good morning, Ibrahim. Fine, Ibrahim, how are you?
How are you doing?
Good. Tell me about what's going on here today.
You see, it's bringing a lot of light to bring those cousins together and to play together and all that. The kids. I hope we can see more Jewish kids as our cousin to play with our own children here.
Where do you come from, Ibrahim?
I am from Mount Everest. I am from this land. I am from this country. And we are all one. We are all brothers here. Because our father is one. Our father is Ibrahim. If we are, have two mothers, but we still have one father.
Okay, Ibrahim. Wonderful talking to you. We'll see you again. We're actually early. This is the first hours of the first day, so I don't expect to see a whole lot of activity. Later on, there'll be music on the stage. Maybe the children will perform. In the meantime, it's relatively quiet, even here in the children's tent. A lot of the children are out in the public area. You speak English? One of you speak English?
You speak English.
She speaks English. Okay. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Aya, and her name is Spirit.
What is your name?
Aya.
No, her name.
Her name is Spirit.
Spirit, Aya. Hi, Spirit. Oh, what a sweet... how do you say that? What Spirit is she?
She's from... I don't like speaking English.
You don't like English?
She's from Australia. Australia? Yes.
Australian Spirit.
Yes.
She's coming. Where's your Spirit from?
From here, from Israel.
Where?
New Jerusalem.
Where in New Jerusalem?
Givat Yeshayahu.
Wonderful. Why did you come here today?
I've been in the Sulchita before, like 3 years, and since then I always came to the Sulcha and the Sulchitot. It's seeing peace happen.
This does not look like your child. Is this your child?
No, this is not my child.
I must say the child is a very pretty little blonde girl, and the woman is a very pretty dark-skinned, dark-haired girl. It's a very nice combination. Can I take your picture?
Can we stand in the shade?
Yes.
I'm just so hot, I can't take it. I'm taking care of the children's corner. We have children from ages 4 to 14 from different nations. We have Arabic-speaking people, English-speaking people, and Hebrew-speaking people. And we try to make an activity that can be applied to everybody.
How do you do that? Do you speak Arabic?
I don't speak Arabic, but I have some people here that help me with translation. And we try to make activities more of movement and the body and painting things and things that are beyond language. That's what we try to do here. And if you look at the schedule, you see most of the things are activities of moving your body and stuff like that, which is good for everybody.
Thank you. What was your name?
Daniela.
Thank you, Daniela. The sound of the airplane overhead reminded me that we're in the one now, that we're not very far from the airport, from Ben-Gurion International Airport. We're situated in an olive grove, actually. So all of these events and tents are mixed in with the olive trees. Here's one that says, Parents Circle. Families, bereaved families support peace towards reconciliation and tolerance. It sounds like a good idea. Excuse me, do any of you speak English? This is for America. Any of you speak English? Can you tell me what you're doing here?
We are joining an organization called Parent Circle, Bereaved Families Forum for Peace and Reconciliation. And for us, Sulha is a chance to come and to present our message to the Palestinian and to the Israeli people and to the people who are coming from all over.
And what is your message?
Our message is, even with the high price that we paid as a bereaved families, because every member here lost somebody from his family, even the high price, we are ready to talk, and we should talk, to give the people the chance to sit and to feel the pain of the other side. Then they will, I think they will accept the price that they have to pay for the peace.
And I forgot to ask you your name.
My name is Ali Abu Awad.
Ali, where are you from?
I'm from Hebron, and I'm coming here for the last 3 years after losing my brother in the conflict. He was shot by an Israeli soldier, and I've been shot by an Israeli settler. So for me, it's a chance to talk about my pain, about my right as a Palestinian to live in justice and dignity.
And does that mean that you also believe in the right of Jews to live here in justice and dignity?
Sure, there is one solution for this conflict, is to have two states for two people living side by side as neighbors, not as enemy. But our main problem is the occupation, because as long as we don't have our own country, our own freedom, it makes our mission more hard.
I notice you're wearing a necklace. Can you describe the necklace? What was what's hanging from the necklace?
The necklace is one is the photo of Najil Ali of Handala, which is, he's the sign of a Palestinian writer called Najil Ali, and he used to talk about politics and to make political jokes. And the other sign is the map of the country. So even though if you want to identify by your country, it's the map of Palestine, it doesn't mean that you don't want the other side. Even though if you identify with this, it's a message that this place can have everybody.
What I don't see on the map of Palestine is that there'll be two places. It looks like it's only one place.
That's right. It's very hard for the Palestinian, because the political situation to identify with Israel. Why? Because for me, until now, I don't know where's the border of Israel. I mean, they ask us to recognize Israel. For me, I recognize Israel, but really, I don't know where is Israel.
It almost seems to me that if somebody were to draw a line anywhere on that map, that medallion of the map, you would have a message of two rather than one single place.
You are right. It could come. And everything is a process, I think, in life. So the one who need to draw this is a politician, because I can draw whatever, but I need something not to be drawn in a sign or in a paper. I need something to be drawn as agreement.
On the ground.
On the ground, exactly.
Thank you. Here is another tent. I can't see the name, what the tent represents, because I'm coming in the back door. Hi, what is this tent about?
I'm not quite sure. I'm sorry.
Does somebody know what this tent is?
Pardon?
It's women's area.
Aha, it's an area for women to speak to together, not without men necessarily.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Why is it only women? She says it's for respect for women.
Should there be a tent for only men?
Yeah, why not? There are things that for women it's easier to bond and to speak about things when they are separated from men. It's more intimate. It's more easy.
And where are you from?
From here.
Where from here?
Karmel Yosef. It's a village close to here.
And what was your name?
Dana.
Thank you very much, Dana. Okay. And this is Iris. Iris, tell me, what are you doing here?
I'm Sarah.
You're Sarah?
Yeah.
Sarah Iris.
Yeah.
I just had a granddaughter born and they named her Arava Iris.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. Okay. I'm the captain of the women camp.
Then where are you going to lead them?
I'm going to lead them to love, to open their heart and to be the mothers of the peace.
You know, there's a plant called Mothers of Thousands, which I've always loved. The name, it has all these very little leaf-like things, which each one is can be a separate plant. So maybe this is also Mothers of Millions.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Iris.
Okay, thank you.
And next to the women's tent is a tent that says prayers. And let's see what's happening in here. Obviously, there's some children. And some adults.
Yeah.
How are you, sir?
Thank you. Fine.
Do you speak English?
A little bit. Yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm from Nazareth and Jerusalem.
Wonderful. What was your name?
My name is Ghassan Manasra.
Ghassan, what are you doing in this tent now?
I'm a part of this place. We organized this place to praise. It's the holy place in this camp, you see. And we came here to pray and to reconciliate our internal world. After that, we can reconciliate with the other. And to see the smiles and to feel the other. And to look in the eyes of the other.
Do you believe that the other, as in the Jews, should be able to, for instance, come to the what was once their holy temple and pray?
I think so, yeah. Because together, Jews and Christians and Muslims, we build this place together. And it's a very, very holy and important sign. I think that God will be happy.
And do you do religious, are you involved in religious work when you're not here?
Yeah, I'm a Sheikh Ghassan Manasra, and here is a Sheikh Khaled Abu Ras, and our big Sheikh is a Sheikh Abdul Salam Manasra, the head of the Qadiri Path Order. It's a Sufi order. We are a Sufi community, and we have a big center in Nazareth. I'm the director, and Sheikh Khaled Abu Ras, the co-director, and the chairman of our place, and our center is our Sheikh. And this year, every year we share the people here in this celebration, big peace celebration. And this year we decided to be part and a very activity in this camp and this holy mission.
That sounds really wonderful. Would you like to invite people to come and visit your community in Nazareth? Could you explain to us how to find it?
Please, we all the time. We told people and we called people to come to be with us as a Sufis. We believe that there is a lot of Sufis inside the Christianity and inside the Jews and inside the Muslims. We are as a Muslims and we are an authority. My father in the Arab society, the Muslim society in Israel, we called everyone all over the world to come to visit us, and everyone is welcome to come to see us and to share. And we just finished with Sheikh Khaled Abu Ras and Professor Avil Kayam from Bar-Ilan University. We just finished a program for a new year. There is a lot of courses about the Islam, to know Islam from the sources, not from the media. You know, the media, sorry for the media, there is a good media, just all of the media, we suffered from the media because they come to cover the conflicts. And when we initiate our center in Nazareth, when we opened our center 3 years ago, we invited all the media. Two or three persons arrived to cover our opening. And the other, they came to the conflict place in Nazareth. All of the media. And then we called them to come to share us, to study with us about the Quran. And the Sheikh made a very important way that it's a new interpretation of the Quran. Modern interpretation, because we need it, you know. We can teach the classical interpretation, not the fanatic interpretation. It's our way. And then we invite everyone he's welcome to come to Veit.
Is there a particular name to the Sufi community that you belong to?
Yeah, it's we belong to the Qadri order, Qadri path. The sources of this path, our path, it came from Iraq. It's from the 13th century, and the initiator, the first man that we called in his name, it's Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani from Iraq. Originally, he is from Persian and came to Iraq, and we belong to this man. And our order, it's a peace Qadri order, and the Sheikh here is here with us in all over the world.
Can I get an exact way of how to find you if someone comes to Nazareth?
Yeah, I don't know where's how when. Just we have a card. It's the Sufi Center in Nazareth. You just ask in Nazareth about the Sufi Center. You can find, and now I can give you and I can give you the address. Where's Khalid? When Khalid Samah? Okay, the address يا بال عنوان تبع المكتب عندنا.
شارع بولس السادس.
In Paulus, the sixth Paulus, Paulus number six, in the center of Nazareth, there is our center. Near the main station of Nazareth. Bus station, main bus station, and near the Annunciation Church.
Let me ask you, there was a group called the, thank you. There was a group called the Sufi Order to the West, led by a man named Pir Vilayat Khan. Are you familiar with his teaching?
I heard about them, and I hope to be in connection with them. I think that it's very important to be another orders, another Sufi paths. I think that the Sufis bring to the world optimism, and they the spiritual stream in the Islam. And open the moderate groups.
Isn't there? I understood that the school for imamim in Israel in Baqa al-Gharabi is also a Sufi school.
Yeah, it's a Khalwatiya order. The name of their order is Khalwatiya. And they are a big a community. They have a college, not a school, a college. It's an academic college. And I think that they build a very important bridge between the Islam and the modernity.
And how do you get along with the other Muslim communities in Nazareth? The more are the other more traditional?
The fanatic people. Yeah, I want to tell you, our way is to bring the Muslims to the moderate line. Why? Because we think that Islam is donate to the world a lot of and give the world a lot of sciences in the past. You know, we remember the Islamic Empire that they bring. Sciences and culture and a good tolerance in some periods. 18th century, the Wahhabis, the fanatic people from Arabia Saudi, they rise in the sky of the Islam. And then we saw some changes in the Islamic world. And the people, they went after this group, and some people became a fanatic people, and we deal good with these people. There is some challenges, and you know, we before Ramadan month, it's the fast month of the holy fast month in Muslim world, and we have a lot of activities. Also, the fanatic people, they have a lot of activities to bring all the people to their side. Just we also work to bring the people to be a moderate people and open people to work in this way. And I think that our association, it's how to clean the hearts and to make our hearts the a house of God.
Now, I know in many religious communities, people believe that those who don't follow the same religion will not go to heaven or are not good people. What is the Sufi understanding of that?
The Sufi believe understanding that everyone in the earth here, he is the creation of God, created by God. And I think that all the people the same, just in different colors, different language, another tongue, and another a culture, just as the Sheikh Sage taught us in the past, that you are me, just in another eyes, another face, another thinkings, just we are the same. The same one, we are one. As Ibn Arabi, the big philosopher Sufi said, my heart became a Quran, Evangelos, and Torah, and Beit Knesset, synagogue, and church, and mosque. My religion, it's the love. And where is the love? I can find the love, I follow this religion.
Now, to go back for a moment, you said that this community originated in Iraq. Now, we hear a lot in the news about Sunnis and Shias in Iraq. We don't hear about Sufis in Iraq.
The Sufis, there came from the Sunnis. It's a very big stream in the Sunnis. It's not Shia. And I think that the Sufis, the majority, the big majority, just they are the silent majority. Because, you know, the Wahhabis, they have a lot of petrodollar. And also in Iran, there is a lot of money. And there is a lot of sources, yeah? And the Sufis, they are the poor people, just they are the good people also in the inside the Islam.
Are you also familiar with the Baha'is who also come from Iran, Iraq, in that area?
About the Baha'is, I don't know anything.
And I understood that there was also a stream of Sufis from India that live in...
Yeah. There, I want to tell you, there is a lot of Sufis in the Islamic world. I think that there is a lot of Sufis in, all over the world. Just there is a lot of branches. There is four mainstream of Sufis. And from this, there grow up a lot of branches of Sufis all over the world. And there is in Middle Asia, there is in Naqshbandis, there is in Chishti in India, in Malaysia, there is a lot of Sufis, Qadri and Naqshbandis and Rifai. In Egypt, there is a big order. There is a big path. It's a Badawi. I think that it's a million of students.
What I was trying to understand, are there other Sufi orders in the Galilee, in Israel?
Yeah, there is a Rifai, and there is a Ibn Jalil. Qadris, Rifais, Khalwatis, and yeah, and there is in Java here, there is a Badawis also.
And do all of the Sufi people have in common this idea of being able to live together among different human beings in friendship and honor?
Sure, sure. All of them, they believe in this path and in this way. All of them, that they say that it's a very holy mission. We must do it. We must do it.
Can you repeat again slowly your name and the name of your community? Your name?
Slowly. I'm Sheikh Ghassan Manasra, the son of the big sheikh in our order, Salam Qadri Path Order.
Thank you very much. I hope we get a chance to visit with you and your home.
Please.
I would love to. Thank you.
Thank you.